Okay, we're good to go.
All right, we'll call the Finance Committee meeting to order for January 23rd, Thursday. Roll call, Rick Fagerly.
Andrew Plowman.
Brian Grummets.
Julie Osmus.
Steve Olkins.
All right, thank you. Item one, discussion, report of outstanding indebtedness.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, each year we are required to file with the county auditor, who then submits reports to the state as far as our outstanding indebtedness. And at that same time that we file that report with the county auditor, we communicate with our bond counsel and we analyze our cash balances and the outstanding debt balances that we have, and have communications on if we should be doing some refunding or cash, if we have got enough cash to pay them off, and that'll be the kind of the memorandum that's on there as well. But at the end of December 2019, we had approximately $118 million of outstanding debt. The breakdown of that, you see there is general obligation of 2.7, that's the R22, the new replacement at the ice arena. Special assessments, which is our 10-year street improvement program, which is a little over $14 million. The revenue bonds, which are, trying to think what those are, right off the top of my head, $6 million. Those are the MUC and the Rice Care Center. And then the remaining GO revenue bonds are primarily waste treatment. The airport is in there, and some of the Rice Hospital. And so we, in our analysis, the airport bonds actually will be paid off this year. This is, yep, the $180,000, that'll be paid off this year. In evaluating them, if you look at the memo that we received from, I'll say, it was Springstead, but now Baker Tilly. So if you catch me using Springstead, that's just because of the history, and I'm used to that's what they've been called. But we did an analysis and evaluated all the bonds, and there were basically one bond that we have enough cash to pay off. That's the 2011 improvement bond. There's $540,000 remaining outstanding for that issue, and we have about $700,000 in cash. And that's due to prepaid assessments primarily and interest earnings. And then the process that happens is if there is excess construction money after the projects are completed, the bond requirements require that money to go into the debt service account to help pay for those payments. So there were others that that they mentioned, and I'm going to try to increase that a little bit. You'll see here that there's potential refunding opportunities, meaning that the interest rates, if refunded, we could have some interest savings. I think you all maybe received an email in regards to the hospital issue. We've been in communication with Karis and Baker Tilly in evaluating that one. That email actually came from a competing financial advisory firm who's been doing some tax increment work for the city. They're not really, so I think just his contacts, he did that. It was appreciated, but we are already having those conversations with Baker Tilly in the hospital. So you'll see there that there's some waste treatment issues with PFA, that there would be some potential savings. And as mentioned in the memo that was attached, that would require conversations with PFA and their approval in order to move forward with that as well. Now, the way that PFA funds their loans to communities is basically through the Clean Water Act, the legacy dollars, and state bonding dollars. So I don't know what their restrictions are and if they would allow it or not. If they can pay off their debts, if it's bonding money, if they can pay that off, then they would probably do it, or if they can refund it. And so we'll have that conversation.
Who's we?
The city staff and Baker Tilly. Okay. With the PFA is really an acronym for Public Facilities Authority. So that's who funds that. The other three that we evaluated there, as I mentioned, the 2011 one there, there's really no benefit to refund it, and since we can pay it off, that's what we would do, is we would call it and pay it off. But we still evaluate about refunding. So that's why you see it in both places as far as being able to pay it off, and then we still analyze it. There would be a cost savings, but when you get to a certain point, the cost to hire Springstead and the paperwork and the advertising and everything to refund it,
it's not worth it.
No, it's not worth it. And that the 2012 and 2014 ones also, they're just too small, and the maturities are right around the quarter. So so the only ones that we're really looking at taking any action at this point is the 2011 one, and we will be paying that off on the next payment, which is in August. But so we do analyze these at this time of year because we do the report. We have the cash, the temporary cash balances at year end, and then we start our process, which we'll talk about later on in the agenda, as far as what are we going to finance this year. So we kind of have a two-step process. We analyze what we got. Can we refund or pay them off? If we can refund some of them and it's cost benefit, then we include that when we took and look at what we're going to bond for this year. So we save costs that way. But at this point, there's nothing that would be beneficial to refund. And so we will start the process and pay those other one, the 2011 ones off.
So the airport one, what does that pay off? Is that the hangars or?
That was the cost that was financed to relocate the airport. There was money that outside, when we relocated the airport, there was a number of state and federal grants that paid for the majority of the relocation. There was also money from the sale of old industrial parkland. So we had an influx of cash. And I believe that was about $2 million, but I'd have to research it to confirm that. And so there was that gap financing that we had to finance some bonds to pay for all the other costs. And that was,
what was the original amount?
Wasn't
2 point.
I mean, the city's portion, correct?
Right. I guess the original amount isn't on there, but it was in the $2 million range. And so that was in 2004. So it's already been 16 years since we've relocated that airport.
Years. But it's paid for.
It's paid for. The airport's paid for. And then now with the relocation, as we've discussed kind of in the past, the present industrial park land, as that is sold, goes into the industrial development unless the council wants to reallocate that. But at this point, and that's how we were able to relocate the old airport.
Yeah, that land is an asset.
Yeah. And we had that discussion in the 2019 budget. If you recall, we had projected a sale with that project that didn't materialize. And then we came back and amended the budget. But that land is still available there and is an asset. And at this point, the council has designated that money to go into the industrial development fund as and when it's sold. And we've had some sales with Magnum and some of those other ones. And so there are some dollars there. But the council can reallocate that. It would take council action to do that.
And how much is that?
You would ask me that.
Of course I would. You're talking about it.
I thought wasn't it 600,000?
I don't remember, but I certainly can get you that information. It would be, if you would look on Dropbox, and I don't think I can go there from here.
Okay.
In the industrial development.
I don't need to know the exact, but it just.
In Dropbox, it would be in there in the summary sheet for that. In the budget process. But I think Andrew is pretty close to what it was. Because you had Magnum, you had a couple other sales.
Bacchus, Dooley's.
Yep.
So if we got desperate, I just got to know where piles of money are.
Yeah. I remember there was discussion about a traffic light going up at that intersection and using funds from that account.
The city did approve an agreement for a cost share on the utilities for the Y project and took action to restrict that dollar amount. Okay. Now that was a 50-50 with the municipal utilities, and the dollar amount on the agreement that was signed has not been adjusted yet, and it was higher than what people were thinking the costs were going to be, so I don't know where that project is. We'll have to look on that.
You're talking the utilities under the...
County Road 5?
Yep.
Yeah, County Road 5 for all intents and purposes.
Yep.
Yeah, I remember that their soils were not as they expected, and they ended up going deeper than they expected.
I think the agreement that the city signed was like at 1.3, but there was discussion, and I don't know if Public Works, that it was going to come in at about 850,000 or something like that, but I have not seen any official paperwork to reduce it. And so I think as they work through the project, they'll be addressing that. So until that is reduced officially, we have to record the official liability that's signed on
in the documents. At
50%. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, so 600,000. So. Any other questions on the process or the call or the evaluation on our report of outstanding indebtedness? We do, like I said, we've done this. This is an annual requirement, and so we have these records and reports and are in the audits every year. As one of the documents, the auditors come in and check, make sure we're filling that requirement.
Okay. Next one, B, preliminary 2020 bonding levels.
Again, we, as part of this process, have had conversations with Baker Tilly, and again, this is kind of explaining the different types of investments, and we've had an old email that in 2018 budget process, we had discussions with them because the mayor was recommending the city hall and some major projects, and so we asked them what are some of the options. And so this is basically updating that as far as what options are available. And these are the issues and the levels that we at staff are working on at this point. Now, there hasn't been, the council is still, this is a kind of a process, and Brian, I don't know if you want to speak a little bit to the process as well, but this is a process that we go through. These are preliminary discussions. These are dollar amounts that may or may not be settled on. It depends on council action and further discussion, and as the council works through their process and makes decisions, that will solidify these dollars, but this gives the bond people an idea of where to start and what statutes we'll be using and what kind of public hearing notices, resolutions, ordinance introductions, those official actions that the council, that will always come back to the council to kind of, you got to go through the process.
Yeah, generally speaking, when we get the construction manager on board and the architect, they'll work out the project payment, when cash is going to be due, how much construction, where you're going to be at 50% and 80%. And so when you put that on a calendar, then Steve will be able to then identify in 2020 we need to borrow this much money. Right. And then in 2021, we need to borrow this much money. And in mid-2021, we need to borrow more based
on
all of these.
And offset that by what we have for income coming in.
And yeah. we've had those preliminary discussions with the local institution that has financed or bought some of the recent issues that we have as far as our cash flow on the revenues coming in. Now, we have received October fully, and the process that the Department of Revenue does is that they give us an estimate of the sales tax collections for the month, because the retailers have 20 days after the end of the month to submit their sales tax. The Department of Revenue then has 40 days after that to get us the actual dollars. And so they give us an estimate, and then 40 days after we get the reconciliation, so to speak, and they take their administrative costs out. So we really only had one full month of October, and there's always kind of a ramp up and kind of a start. So we're still analyzing those numbers to see how they're going to fall into everything, and we'll be reporting to the committee as those kind of, we get more information in.
Question. Mm-hmm. If, say, the numbers were to come in lower than expected for certain months consecutively, would new thought be given as to the funding mechanism for these projects?
That's one of the things that I think will be in the process, is that The funding is actually going to have to be discussed.
Okay.
And preliminary budgets will have to be adopted. I think that there has been some preliminary, you know, naming rights, grants, those types of things. At this point in time, we are using the dollars that were authorized in state statute for the local option sales tax, the city ordinance, and indications of what projects and where they're at. I mean, that's why you'll see Swanson Field at $2 million, and that's only using those numbers because that is what's in the statute and the ordinance. The conversations, again, may be, depending on timing, as Brian alluded to, if we have $1 million in the bank because of the collections and the project is like ready to go and it's only going to be $2 million, we may only bond for $1 million. But that information, again, will have to come back to this committee to evaluate. And so we don't want to borrow money if we've got money in the bank. It's similar to
pay as we go, hopefully.
Yeah, and that's some of the cash flow. And some of the conversations we're having also, and it's based on some of the concerns that the council had at our last finance meeting, is that tracking the costs and tracking the bonds and making sure that we don't restrict ourselves in that if Swanson Field comes in at $1.8 million, that $200,000 can still be utilized in some other project as long as we meet the state statute and the city ordinance. Because that, we have that 10% that was in the statute, mm-hmm. and that 10% is within all the six projects that were listed.
I don't see that happening on any one of them.
So having excess money?
I'm not even going to waste thought process on that.
But those are all things that, I mean, because we have to divulge that when we start the process. And you'll see the timeline there that we have had for discussion, in that the local option sales tax projects, except for the community center, are planned to at least have some discussion and action by the council in the spring of this year. And the two major ones are Robbins Island, I think, and Swanson Field. Robbins Island and storm sewer work has been kind of given to city staff. Okay. And Invest in Wilmer hasn't really, they've kind of given that to city staff, so city staff's going with those.
Because there were existing master plans?
Yes. Okay. Stormwater, there's a master plan. Robbins Island, there was a major park plan.
They were going to do for roads and parking lots.
Yeah, and so we're progressing on those.
Can I ask another question regarding local option sales tax? Do any communities, okay, I know this would be kind of weird from a public perspective, do any communities pass a local option sales tax and then wait any significant amount of time before beginning their projects? Now, I'm not saying that the community would ever go for that, but I'm just saying, do any of them ever do it?
I would have to research that.
Or do they typically use the proceeds to fund the financing?
Normally, they want to get the projects in the ground.
Yeah. You'll see, Mankato did something recently where they did the local option sales tax, and they did the public improvements like intersections and stormwater and, you know, public stuff. They did that right away, and then 5 years later, they're going to actually do the recreational, fix that pool. They're going to do that.
So they had different type of financing.
You can stagger your projects. It's just that, depending on how your language in your enabling legislation was crafted, like Noam basically said, you can have debt for like 20 years, or no, you can levy the sales tax as long as you had debt. So if we wanted to sell a 30-year bond, we could have the sales tax for 30 years, and so. Where Wilmer did not do that.
That was the discussions at the legislature level was a little bit more detailed this
year.
This
go and around. This last go around, they paid more attention, and so we got 13 and a half years,
mm-hmm.
And so in that case, depending on these time frames, will dictate, you try and get them in the ground as fast as you can, so that you got the whole 13 years, or do you wait 12 years?
Build up some revenue.
Build up the revenue and bang, do the project.
But I just wonder how that balances out to building costs versus the
Right. And there's always
cost.
This. Yeah.
But,
yeah, there's a risk.
Yeah. So that's where, you know, we're looking at. The other ones were the community center and city hall, again, are only estimated at fall of this year. Again, there's other actions and decisions that the council will have to make. But when we go out for this level of debt, we're going to need a bond rating. I'm guessing the local banks won't want to place this large amount. And we haven't had a bond rating for the last 2 or 3 years. So they do still monitor the city and give us an updated.
But monitoring is different than a formalized rating.
Correct.
All it does is in their files, they've got our city audit so that when we finally do ask them to give us a rating, they've got current.
They're current.
They're
mm-hmm.
current.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Less
and they've got, they should be, I remember Moody's asking for our stuff or something since I've been here, so they should be current.
They sent us an annual synopsis, and they ask for our input if it's,
yep.
if this is still correct.
Yep. Oh, got it.
Yep.
Okay.
And is there anything that would change our rating?
The level of debt, possibly, the spend down of reserves. Those are all factors.
Major employer
it's like they,
that
they
left.
Run your credit.
Yeah, yeah. They look at the ability to pay and basically one
is
of
your population going down or is it going up?
Per capita income is another
so
item that we always
have
discussion
important.
On. And the stability of management.
Yep.
Staffing is one of the items that are discussed quite often.
Interesting.
Yeah, it is. And it's a major part.
Really?
Part of it. It is.
Continuity in the top and financial management.
Stability and financial and personnel is a big issue.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're looking for good leadership. They're looking for longevity with
safety.
A plan.
Yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm.
people know what they're doing. It's all in a big ball
yeah.
of information.
So it really is a large-scale credit check. Really.
Oh,
yeah.
It really
oh,
is.
Yeah.
I mean, and tax base and what the plan, I mean, the conversations that we try to impress upon them is the relocation of the airport and the availability of the tax base to grow on the industrial side. We have that ready. It's shovel
yeah.
ready.
Wastewater so, capacity.
Yep, we impress that upon them. The Midwest campus is an asset that we always revisit and talk to them about. One of the items that will help a little bit even is, I think, CARES Health. Because
okay.
even though the hospital debt is GO-backed, as long as their financials
stability
and
there.
As far as the city goes, the lease is covering the debt.
Yeah. yeah.
So.
And it's a major organization.
Yeah. And there's been discussion and that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. So the commercial possibility of expanded commercial down in the south east part of town,
mm-hmm.
the availability of that, you know, building permits, the continued growth, those types of things. So
they have at their disposal more information about the city of Wilmer than anybody collectively in the community has. Because they will ask you questions, and you know the deal is, you don't ask a question unless you know the answer.
Yeah.
They'll ask the question and see what you say.
Yeah.
They already know the answer.
The overlapping debt is also one of the major factors they talk
yep.
about. I mean, and the coordination and communication between the county school and city.
Oh, I yep. said what's overlapping debt?
Yeah.
But the
Property
other plus side
sense.
Is if you have 10-year debt, where a lot of cities have 20-year debt, 10-year debt is seen very favorable because you're paying it off.
Yeah, and your payment history. You know,
yeah.
it's kind of like you said, it's a credit check is really what it is.
So
yeah.
I was just saying, I would think, like in the last 5 years, our rating would be fairly even.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't had any major anything.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. And for a city of our size, we are... And we can certainly provide that. I mean, some of the information that we put out there is that it's statewide, we are, for our size, financially sound.
You know what might be interesting is the last time we had a rating, you
mm-hmm.
know, you said it was like a couple of years ago or something like that?
Yep.
Is actually to pull up the analysis, the actual Moody's rating analysis. when you go through, I don't know, 6-8 pages of the information, they list out everything that they believe is a detriment, everything that they believe is a
positive.
Have they chipped you guys yet?
Tattooed my lip,
just,
but not.
Yeah, just wait.
Yeah.
Mandatory Fitbits.
But it is.
Compliments of Moody's.
But it is. I mean, it's good to sell your city and have strong financials, and we do.
Yep.
And we do.
How do they look at abatements and TIF districts?
I think they look at the level, and they are not at a level of materiality. Hmm. As long as you can show to them that you are aware of the impact, and you are aware of how long they're going to be, and if it's for commercial and industrial growth, I mean, that's going to eventually grow your tax base.
Yeah, you know that eventually that abatement will
go away,
and then tax base will increase that much more.
Yeah.
If you were tax incrementing 50% of your tax base, they would be concerned.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If you're doing that with 0.5 or a half of 1%, they're not too concerned about that.
Yeah.
So using it is okay. You just can't
abuse it.
And one of the pluses that we have experienced is the Community Investment Fund, and we'll talk about that here in a minute too, and that we decertify the tax levy to the tune of about $800,000, and that we have that as a plan that's been in place in a process since 1990, so that the longevity of some of these decisions that the council has made is always a plus in their mind too. Now, if you have changes in those, then they would want to have more discussion. It's kind of like an auditor who finds and does a sampling, and if they don't find anything, the sampling is good. If they find something, then the sampling gets larger.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
What was our last reading? Was it double A?
It's a large A, small A, 3 is presently is what it is. And Moody's changed their rating system. It used to be A, double A, and they went to a different type of, but it would be the equivalent of what an A was, and there was a triple A as the best rating.
Yep.
So.
Yeah. And there's like nothing you can do.
We've had conversations.
You can't change your population to 100,000. You can't. There's just certain things they're going to like. You're stuck here until something major happens, and you're not going to go from 20,000 to 100,000. In 1 year.
Yeah, we've tried numerous times over the years to try to see what we could do to upgrade our rating. As example would be insuring the bonds. Outside of the geo backing, even, which adds to the cost, but
does it make that much of a difference?
No.
Yeah,
no, and that still wouldn't have increased our rating.
No.
So
there's things that you have control over, but they're much larger scope things, and then there's also even larger things that you don't have control over.
Yes.
So.
Yep. It is what it is. It's like we're in Western Minnesota. You're not going to change that.
Yep.
Our economy. Is what it is. You're not going to change. We're not a New York City. We're not a Los Angeles. You are what you are.
Mm-hmm.
And given that, they give you your rating. And
I suppose it takes years of different financial management strategies to build up that history of changes in finance. Right?
Well, and that's the continuity and the longevity of the plans that are in place and what you are planning to do in the future and knowing that there is a plan.
Yep. They don't like surprises.
Mm-hmm.
So if you sit there and say, our intent next year is to spend down our fund balance, that goes in the file. And then when next year comes and you spend it down, they go like, good. You did what you said you were going to do. But if you spend it down, you're going to say, did that have a negative impact on your ability to respond to emergency?
Yikes.
So, yeah, It's an interesting process. In some cases, they will have a 4-hour telephone call with Steve.
Wow.
Then probably our bond consultants, they'll sit in a room or they'll be on telephone conference call and they'll just hammer out every one of these things and pick your brain.
The last one we had with them was the CARES Health. Mm-hmm. And That one was lengthy. It got down to items even as far as the retirement and the liability, the pension liability for the employees. And the conversations that Caris Health had with Public Employees Retirement Association, or PERA, and what plans were in place so that those employees continued, or, you know, their retirements transitioned. And there was an agreement that Caris Health had with PERA, and so, I mean, that's how detailed it got when we had, and we had Caris Health, we had Bill, you know, we had people from the hospital in here to answer some of those specific questions.
I can just tell you what I need, okay? Mm-hmm. So if we're, this isn't big.
No.
Let's say we have this 800,000 mm-hmm. that's in reserve, and all of a sudden you've got three or four council members that think we could use that money for something else. And yes, the council can do what they want to do. Huh?
Auditorium?
You can sit here very calmly and say, well, this is what will happen, and this is what I would recommend. I need more enthusiasm. Okay? Mm-hmm. You really shouldn't do that. Okay?
Like, you can, but I wouldn't advise it.
Yes. Because I totally rely on you to know what's in the best interest of the city.
And they always say, you know, and I would be more than happy to do that. And a lot of times they say bring a professional in because they, you know, 50 miles from town, you know.
Yeah.
Right.
And so we have had the consultants come in to we have conversations. And so, I mean, I'm similar to the, and I'll use the example of the refunding for the hospital. There's a number of other things that go into that that we've had conversations on already as far as the lease. The lease has got a definite payment in there, which was calculated based on the debt service. So even though the debt service is projected to be favorable to refinance it, it would take other actions to redo the lease.
Right.
And conversations, you know. So there are other things, but yes, I would be more than willing to say, in the council, there was a council member that used to say the council can do anything they want to do. Well,
right.
You can to certain extents, because there are, and Brian can allude to this, there are certain statutes and certain things that cause an offense.
We certainly can do whatever we want, but I really don't think we want to be the kind of council that our professionals would be afraid to give us their honest opinion about these sort of things. At least if I found out there's anything I was doing to give that vibe, I'd want to change it right away, because, you know, if we got people that are looking at the numbers and thinking this isn't a good thing, but you can do whatever you want to do, you know, I would rather err on the side of safety.
And I guess I sometimes, when I just think of the council meetings, you guys sit over there very quietly, and then that's the way it is, unless you're called on. But if we're going to do something that's really to the detriment to the city, I would hope there would be some kind of a stopgap in there.
Well, and I think this type of structure, now that it's back to somewhat committee structure, helps have some of those discussions, and even the past two council meetings have went rather quickly.
Well, and specifically regarding financial stuff, I felt like when it was the work session, that I felt like the financial stuff, we rolled through that stuff so dang fast. Mm-hmm. And some of it was kind of just like a blur, and it was like, what did we just, I'm not comfortable with what we just did, because I don't know half of what we just did.
Yeah, right.
And that actually scared me. I didn't like it.
Well, and the one retreat that we had at Bremer, time was restrained. I mean, we had these types of examples as far as what are the options, what different type of financings, what statutes can you do, and we just ran out of time. And so,
sure,
that's just part of it. But now, we do have these. You'll see there the summer, that's the street improvement. That's when we normally will do that. That, I think you had the improvement hearing, and so that whole process kind of tracks down through, and we have that. And it ties to the capital improvement report, so there's a sequence. And then this is just the placeholder as far as fall of 2020. And I think the discussion has been to try to get in the ground before frost, and but if it, that doesn't happen, that always can be pushed back to it. These are just what are your plans, especially if we're talking to Moody's, or they want to know, you know, are you going to be issuing more debt? Yes, we think this is what our plan is. And so even if we have to adjust the plan, this isn't in stone by any means. These are just preliminary discussions and the next step in the process.
And then, and Steve and I were talking earlier, and these will likely be in a series. You'll have 2020A, 2020B, you might have a 2020C, and then you go 2021A. This, the whole bonding thing needs to be timed out. And one to say, yeah, well, we're going to bond, that is way too simplistic. We're going to bond multiple times in all likelihood and for different reasons. One's going to be the GO, one's going to be the sales tax revenue bond. This is like a puzzle that Steve is trying to put together.
And we don't want to take it and have to pay interest on it any earlier than we...
Yeah.
And then the last sales tax was a prime example of that. You know, the FAA delayed the projects because of the land tie-up, but that turned out to be beneficial to the city because we got more bang. We basically got, we didn't pay interest, and we got more hard costs out of the dollars that we had collected. So, but this is the last part of the memo. Really, we talk about the bond issuance timeline, and that's again just to try to schedule it into the council schedules. You know, we have the first and third Mondays, and we kind of work backwards and figure out, okay, in order to meet this timeline, we have to start having some decisions made at this point.
Another question for you, and it maybe wasn't regarding the exact timeline, but earlier issues pointed out on this page. What controls are in place for your citizens? So I know there's public hearings, right, regarding mm-hmm. this stuff, mm-hmm. but I've been asked, and I was thinking about it the other night, what controls or mechanisms are in place for citizens as stopgap measures? Like, are there any actual procedures that citizens can do, or do they basically show up and say what they feel?
Well, in example of the City Hall project, there's a reverse referendum if you go that route and you don't use a lease purchase type bond. So that you held, you introduce an ordinance, hold a public hearing,
right,
and go through the 5-year cap improvement, even though we've addressed it already when we did the budget,
yeah,
it's still a requirement that you have to say, okay, it was in the 5-year capital improvement, this is the type of financing we're proposing, and then they have a reverse referendum by charter that they can go out and petition, and I think it's like 300 and some signatures that would be required. I think that's in the memo. 355 voters, if they get 355, they could put it on a ballot.
So there are actual things like the public hearings, and that's they actually do serve a purpose,
yes,
more than just giving people a chance to say that they're upset about it.
Exactly, and that would be explained in the public hearing that this is a public hearing. These are the options for citizens, explaining the financing and the statute requirements and the charter requirements.
Well, and I ask because I have this conversation came up, but the comment was made, well, people can't really do anything about anything anyways. And I said, that's not true. I said, in a lot of cases, the state statute governs that. Mm-hmm. There are things that people can do. Now, can it be complicated? Yeah. Do you have to figure out how to do it? Yeah. But there are things that you can do, and I guess this is exactly one of them.
Mm-hmm.
So if people really did not like the idea of a new city hall, they could actually organize and do something about mm-hmm. it.
Yeah, if their council member didn't listen to them and voted opposite, they would have this option.
Sure, interesting.
For this type of financing.
Right, yep. Right.
Yeah, yep.
So it's more than a few, because that's what they were alluding to, is they said, well, a public hearing, you get a couple people that show up and complain, but that's all it's really for, is just a whole feel-good session. Mm. I said, well, I don't think so. I think that there's actually more to it than that, or there can be more to it than that.
And again, the 355 is based on 5% of the number that was voted in the last election.
Yeah.
You know, take like the special assessments that nobody really likes to have, but the fact is if you file a complaint, or a complaint against the city. They think the assessment's too high, and here are my valid reasons. That then opens the door to go to district court.
To a process.
You don't come and complain, you don't get to open the door to district court. It's just the way it is. You have to follow the process, and if you miss a deal, you're out. You have to participate before you can do the ultimate. And, you know, like we had last time, we had, some people talking about their street assessments. It's just, you know, they did one 5 years ago, and now they got two more sides, and it's like, you followed the process. Now the rest is up to you. You could go to court and argue it and see what the results are. So it's not just a rollover kind of a thing, but you have to follow the rules.
Well, I just think it's important that people know that. Because just like assessments, like I had an individual that actually did follow the process all the way through and actually got a reversal decision by the county, through the courts, by the county, and it actually made a very significant difference in their property tax bill. Yep.
And we will, in the minutes, point out the different types of financing that we have here, even though this is information, and the remedy for this one especially will be in the minutes that reverse referendum and charter requirements would allow people to do that at the proper time, when the hearings are held and notice is given.
Yep.
And so then, what we do is, again, kind of try to put a calendar together based on finance committee meeting dates and council meeting dates and timelines that are required for publishing and all that. And so you'll see there that, the introduction of ordinances and that is all in the process and will be followed once we start solidifying. Now, we will be talking more next month in finance here as far as preliminary budgets and solidifying those, and that it's all part of it too for the projects.
Now, I know this is probably, it's an overlap of Public Works, Public Safety meeting, but I've heard that we get charged more for the bids for the street projects than the county, that the county gets a better bids, better rate than we do, just because of the process and the way we do it. Has that ever been discussed? Is it?
I don't know that it's ever been discussed, but there could be a couple of reasons for it.
I was going to say, who did you hear this from? I mean, was it from somebody that actually knew, or was it,
it was from somebody,
a theory?
Somebody from the city council that had chatted with somebody from Dunnicks.
Okay.
And it was because of our process. I think we put in more than what we're going to do, and then we take some off, and then that messes up their what they had budgeted for, and so
it's only happened a couple times though.
Okay,
where it's been reduced
extra streets, and then we pull them back.
And one of them was because the citizens didn't want like 9th and 10th.
When does the county bid theirs?
Right.
If they're bidding theirs in January and we're bidding ours in
April
or May, that makes a difference.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and have we talked about that?
They're loaded.
No. We did it 1 year. We did it early, and they got the streets done before school started.
Yeah.
And then it went back to the same thing. They're back out.
Well, there's in a October, there's a philosophical November, position on this, and that is that everybody's looking for projects in January. And then those that didn't get projects, they are really hungry, and they will give you a better deal later.
That's the
theory.
Yeah, there's different philosophies.
Now, the other thing that falls into play here is going to be, it's the kind of road construction.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, when you're doing a city street, you've got your water, sewer, fiber optic, you got telephone, you got all the things
associated and neighbors
and carbon
gutters.
Okay, and to be quite honest, then you've got your
driveway cuts,
asphalt, and all the other things. And so, the ability to do a block of city costs more because of the technical aspect of it, as compared to a block of county road. Block
that makes
of county
sense.
Road,
yeah.
They got no curb. It's flat work. There's no manholes, and that comes cheaper. You can lay more asphalt in a county road cheaper than you can in the city street, and that's a major difference. So your
unit, that makes sense, but I thought it was more with our process.
Yep. Your unit cost of.
But yeah. I think we would see that if we went back, because I did look at the numbers and broke them down just a little bit. Like say out on Civic Center Drive versus 15th Street, 16th Street, you know, whatever, when you broke it out, a square foot of asphalt was significantly cheaper out on Civic Center Drive. Now it's going to end up being a significantly more expensive project because it's a lot more, but per square foot of asphalt was actually less money than the streets in town.
Yep.
Because there wasn't all.
It helps if you have competition.
Yeah.
Well, competition.
Yeah, that would help.
Big.
Yeah.
Like Knife River, please come bid.
Okay.
No.
Oh. Just
but again, this is just a step in the process.
Keep thinking about how we're gonna, how can we make our money go farther, and if it's just one person's philosophy of how they like to do the process, have we?
Known as the same cycle as Wilmer does.
Okay.
They do it later in the spring because they feel they get better. They get better.
And I think that, and I can't speak for sure for engineering, but now that we're at full staff, I think they are ahead of where they've been the past few years, being short some positions.
Well, and I had the same conversation with Sean is what, I mean, you said to him, if there's something that you think that we can do better that's going to put us in a bit, because, I mean, what advantage is there for engineering to not try to do
get as much as can
get
with
as
the
many
money
dollars
allotted.
Worth of stuff.
Right.
And we had the conversation, if there's any little thing you can
is there something
think
we should
whatever.
Be doing faster?
Exactly. Yep. If we're dropping the ball, let us know. And quite often something will come up like that. Like, you know, where you, it seems common sense, but then when you talk it through, there's variables that you hadn't considered. And then all of a sudden you go back and reconsider those, and it's like, oh, yeah, okay, so that.
It's some of the things that we've talked about, and we've talked jointly with between Public Works or engineering and finance too, about, if you recall, the municipal state aid designation of certain streets, and we've changed some streets, there's some things that we're still discussing about advancing and that type of stuff, and so we're continually exploring different options to get the biggest bang for the buck.
I was just saying, we're at this point right now, we're in January, if there was something different that we should be doing, I thought now we should be moving those wheels.
Yep.
But, okay.
Yep.
Okay?
Yep, very true.
Yep. All right. C, fund balance policy.
Yes. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, you've had this policy. This is bringing it back to you. At the last meeting, we discussed the policy really did not include one major part that was in the charter, and that was dealing with the community investment fund. And so I included a copy of the charter speaking about the community investment fund, and at our next meeting I would recommend that we bring this back, you take and look and review it, study it, and we bring it back to the committee include this as a new section in the fund balance policy dealing with the community investment fund. The community investment fund was established in December of 1990. So it's been around for a while, and this would just help put it in another place, because the charter is an area that isn't looked at a whole lot. But this policy is an annual document that comes before you. And if there are things that you would want to do or the council would want to do as far as usage of the fund balance in the community investment fund, this is one of the areas where I would say that you can do that, but this is what's funding your streets, and this is the ramifications, plus these are the requirements that you need to do. The first priority is that it has to be funded within the available investment earnings. You certainly can change that, but it would take a charter change, not just a policy change, to do that, which is a little bit more involved. The second priority, again, I mean, you can change this, but the change it, it requires more when it's a charter, and it takes a unanimous vote if it's so. And one of the major items, and I know this has been, the community investment fund balance has been looked at by some council members. And one of the major items that I pointed out or explained to them when they have is that an estimate of ongoing annual operating and maintenance costs and the sources for paying such costs identified. It has to be an item that's discussed and identified before it could be used.
Okay. So, Rick, why are you like alluding, tell me if I caught this wrong, that us designating that money for the auditorium was not something we should have done?
No, that was fine, but I knew that was your project. So you wanted money there, but we can take it out if we needed to.
Okay.
The council can do.
It wasn't my project. It was just
when you were interested.
Okay.
That was Sean.
I give Sean more ownership of it than me, but I was very vocal about we needed to do something.
And again, the Community Investment Fund, it goes into explaining how this was established, where the monies came from, and it basically was looking at the 10-year street program back in 1990, and that's when interest rates kind of went or down, or they were going down, but yet the interest that was charged to the residents, the bonds were sold at a higher rate, and the city always had the policy of assessing 2% over, and when interest rates dropped, the interest rates that were charged for assessments weren't adjusted. So there was an accumulation similar to what we talked about on the 2011 debt service, where there was a prepayment of assessments, and so there was interest earnings. So there was more in the fund than what was needed to be paid because we refunded a bunch of issues in 1990. But the council didn't lower the interest rates on assessments. So they gained more money than what they needed. So they informally defeased a number of the bond issues. They took the money enough to pay the bonds and interest, set it aside, and in the excess dollars, they created this fund. And so now, the 10-year program, when there are extra dollars, like the 2011 fund, if there's $540,000 due and we have $700,000, the difference will go into this fund, which then buys that liability, the debt service.
Steve, to the best of your knowledge, since this chapter in the charter was created, have we been in compliance with it?
Yes. It's about doubled in size. And only been used for the 10-year debt service.
So like even underneath like the mini bullet points regarding like not spending more than the interest earnings of the prior, 2 years?
Okay.
Even little things like that.
Would be marginal the last few years because interest rates have dropped.
Okay.
But when the obligation or the financing of the street program was into consideration, there were dollars available to do that. So we're not overextending. I mean, that's when the $4.
Right.
So, but we have part of this as well.
We have not kind of. We've never knowingly drifted away from the charter stipulations of the fund, correct?
For the main part, no, we have not.
Okay.
And that's why the fund has kind of doubled over the
past. And I wasn't so much thinking about like just recent years, but you know, in years past, have we ever run into trouble with it?
Well, and when the interest earnings were not meeting or getting close to not meeting the obligations, that's when the $2 was first established as another revenue source, and then as it still did not meet, then that's why it went to $4. And then in 2010, there was the discussion because the local option sales tax was expiring, and the council reviewed a third funding source of a local option sales tax for streets as a possible funding mechanism and having a three-legged stool to pay for the streets.
So you either have to find a new funding mechanism or dissolve it. Basically, get rid of it.
If the revenues are not there or not do street projects or fund the street projects differently, yeah.
Right. But here's a twist, and Steve and I have had this conversation, is that you borrowed money. You went into debt for the entire project. And then you levied the $2 and the $4 to that process. And then you use that money for the debt to pay the debt off. Now in my world, we take the $2 and $4 money and we put that into the project, and it reduces it. So instead of having $3 million in debt, you've got
paying of the bonds.
Now $2.6 million in debt.
Yeah.
And it's just a philosophy of what comes first, you know, kind of a thing. But you know, when you sit and say, if the $4 is for, you know, let's say water and sewer, then that money should pay for the water pipe and the sewer pipe that's going into that project. But it's not. That year there might have been no water and sewer in that project, and yet we're taking the $4 and paying the debt off. And that's where I think the trust of what are you using this money for, and in that year we had no water and sewer in there in those projects, but yet we're using that money. So I would.
We always had water and sewer.
Yeah.
So I would be. There's, I would be saying
some projects were there.
You accumulate that money. If you don't have a project, you accumulate that money in a water sewer account, kind of a thing. And then the next time you have a project that had water pipe and sewer pipe, you would use that money. So I look at it different than what is currently being handled.
To get back to Andrew's question, though, as far as the interest earnings, the $4. And the $2 is basically filling the gap. So when we have our 10-year, when we look at our 10-year obligation as principal and interest for those 10 years of street improvements, we also look at the interest earnings from the community investment fund. Mm-hmm. Community investment fund interest earnings are not at the level of what that 10-year obligation is.
Got it.
So then that's where the $4 goes. It's actually kept separate, and it goes into the debt service to pay that difference, that gap. It doesn't go into this fund so that it's not being restricted by the charter. It's kept over in a different, in the Public Works Reserve, which is another statute authorizing cities to do.
Yeah.
So we can't take the $4 that we have taken that's supposed to go to street and sewer, whatever, to pay off the auditorium.
You can, but...
If it's not in the C, okay.
But then, let's say you did that. You then, when we look at the amount needed for the 10-year street program, and we take off what interest we have, there are tax levies that are certified every time we sell a bond issue. We would not notify the county that you can dissolve those. That's what we do presently. When there's the $4 and the... We decertify the tax levy for that debt issue because we've got dollars to pay the debt service. If you took that money and you put it over to the auditorium, which you can do, you would increase the property taxes because we would not decertify those levies. Yes.
Automatically.
You would have to. So
by default, that's
by default,
mm-hmm.
You have to have revenue, and taxes are the ones that are certified to pay that debt off.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a way to raise taxes without actually even asking anybody.
Just keep it. There.
Yes.
And speaking of taxes, the Department of Revenue and the League of Minnesota Cities have put out, and we are compiling the comparative tax rates for the 19 regional centers. And so that's always been a discussion when we talk about budgets and stuff. But that's where some communities, and I'm not so sure if regional centers do it or not, but some cities, they assess for the minimum required 20%, and the rest they put on the tax roll. Mm-hmm. A lot of communities do that as a financier. They don't have a community investment fund. They don't have a $4. That's why you see a tax rate maybe double of what ours are.
So it's pay now or pay.
Yep.
Later.
Yeah. Which pocket is the money coming out of? It has to get paid.
Mm-hmm. It's gonna. Yeah.
Yeah. And so this fund again would be an example of. If you recall, we're dealing with some agricultural deferred assessments. Well, some of those bonds have been paid off. Well, in order to pay those bonds off, if the assessments didn't come in, the money had to come from somewhere. And basically, it came from the community investment fund. They bought that receivable. Mm. And so when and if that property is developed, this fund will basically get that get those dollars. And the way you have your assessment policy now, it's higher of the costs or the assessments when the improvements were put in or the current year rates. So that's.
So your proposal, are we adding something then?
I would add this section, and I'll bring that back to you in a legislatively printed change in the fund balance section in the appropriate spot dealing with the community investment fund. And it will mirror the charter.
I was going to say,
yeah, we're not changing the words of it. We're just including it into the document.
Yeah, we're inserting this into the document so that, and we'll refer to it by reference, city charter number.
Yep.
Okay. So the charter commission will have to
not to insert it.
Okay.
Any changes they would have to, or
but you don't see the need to change any of it. You just. Want to include it in
policy. I don't think at this point there's any recommendation to change anything that's in here. This was this was made pretty, how do I want to say it? It requires a few steps to follow in order to spend this, and it was done purposely because it was a funding mechanism for streets. I think it takes seven out of eight council members to vote to use any of this.
Rick, how far does this predate you?
Came on in 93, so.
Even a few years.
Yeah. Verna Kelly was big in to getting this going.
Yeah, we worked again with Springstead at the time. It was formulated after the city of Minnetonka had established this type of financing. Mm-hmm. And so we kind of pirated that or formulated after theirs. I mean, that was common. If another city had a mechanism, you would utilize that.
They went through a lot of the work to craft it and create it, so you could use it as a template.
Yeah, the legalities,
Unfortunately, they didn't.
I like the word pirate, though. That's cool.
If Minnetonka would have funded it, it would have been great.
So we will bring that back in a legislatively printed document. I don't know if you had any other comments of the document, but a lot of these are based on GFOA, governmental finance requirements and the classifications. I mean, they went through and redid all the terminology and stuff a few years back, and so these are standard statewide type terminologies. The only section that we have looked at in the past, again, is the stabilization fund, the section that talks about unassigned, and that's dealing with the cash flow, the self-insurance reserve, and basically the stabilization or the emergency appropriation. Commonly known as emergency appropriation, which is that will need to be changed as well. Okay.
And we have an audit every year, and they never say anything. Yep. Not too much.
Well, there has been comments. I think you know that the level of fund balances that the city has is more than what the normal would be for a community of our size statewide. But again, you have to look at the variables and the different plans and the different history. Of financing improvements, and are you going to put it on the taxes, or are you going to pay for it in a fund similar to this?
Yep. Okay. Cool. Item D, investment policy review.
This has been before the committee. It's an annual review requirement. We're still working with Bremer on different. Things that they might advise to do, we don't have a finalization of that as of yet. So our plan is to bring it back to you again at the next meeting if there is some recommendations. The change that we made the last time was complying with the FDIC amount. I think it went from 150 to 250. I think there's a copy of the resolution in the back of the right there. This was the last change we did in November of 18. The FDIC insurance had been $150 in the policy, $150,000, and it's now $250,000. So, but otherwise, the 40% in any one institution is still a requirement in there. We're working with Bremer Bank on different things, and we are also now investing in the League of Minnesota Cities. Is called the 4M Fund. It's a mutual fund similar to what we have over at Bremer. We have two investments that we're working with Bremer with. We have a mutual fund And then we have working with Bremer Wealth, where we're trying a dollar amount. Because if you remember, Smith Barney got out of the public arena. And so we just had those investments transferred over to Bremer Wealth as our broker, and they are kind of managing it.
So they're going to manage, I mean, it's not just a fund, it's going to be a portfolio within Bremer.
Exactly. And Bremer Wealth, the reason we use Bremer Wealth is because they are actually the trustees for the Rice Trust. And so there's a history there. Yep. And so we're seeing and analyzing how that's working. And they notify us if there's something that gets called or they invest. And they're able to break it down a little more as far as the denominations. But again, the 4M Fund is another one that, with the League of Minnesota Cities, that's well known. They actually, their rate is slightly higher. And we are experiencing a large amount of calls on our investments because of the interest rates. And we will have that at our next meeting as well, as far as the investments at the end of the year. And actually, we have one being called tomorrow, a 2%.
Do you think this trend, just in your opinion, is the trend going to continue that way?
Calling of, yeah. We're going to have all of our step-ups, which was a way to kind of, in step-ups, we had experienced the same thing when Kevin was here, which is probably 14 and 15. It was after 2008 and 2009 when it was slightly after that, yeah. and they were calling everything, mm-hmm. And so Kevin did a lot of investing in it's what's called step ups, and the interest rate gradually steps up. That's why I call a step up. And we have some. If you look at the last reports that we provided, we have some investments that go from 2% up to 8.5%. Well, none of those are going to be. They're calling the 2%. So all of our step-ups are going to get called.
Yeah.
And so we did just place an investment today on a Federal Home Loan Credit or Federal Home Loan Bank for 51 months at 1.94%. And so anything less than 4 years, you're going to be in the 1.75 to 1.5. And we're not putting it out there in the 10-year because we, in conversations with Wells Fargo Advisors, and we talk with 4M, and we talk with a number of the brokers. Indications are the three-year mark is where this is going to turn around and start going the other direction, is what they're guessing. Again, a lot of things depend on if there's a war, if the election.
Yep.
But we do have conversations with a number of our brokers, and we certainly can provide that to the council, too, on their advice on what they see is coming. And Bremer Wealth, as well, as a local. So, okay. We'll have that again back to you with our annual reports.
Any other questions? Motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
All right. We're done. Thank you, Steve.
Mm-hmm.